The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
No spin, no agenda, just the most honest sports talk in Arkansas. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. We'll talk a little recruiting and the efforts that are putting forth by Chad Morris and his staff. Hitting it hard on the recruiting trail. Not only this past season, even though the rankings weren't that high if you look at websites, but all things considered, it was pretty solid with the amount of limitations that they had during the recruiting season. And it looks like they're on the right track as well. And just as a reminder, tomorrow, Tommy, you're going to be live from Branson at the Mountain Coasters. Isn't this correct?
Yeah, it's one of the new attractions in Branson. I know a lot of a lot of folks had to work. A lot of moms and dads listening couldn't take off the whole week for spring break, but they're taking off today. Going to be heading out today to Branson, maybe taking off noon today and have Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Branson, or heading up for the weekend, whatever. Be sure and stop in at the Branson Coaster. It's one of the new attractions. It's right on Highway 76, the main strip in Branson. We're going to be broadcasting live there in the morning. So you can stop in and say hi if you're already going to be in Branson. If you're in town listening on 104.3, we appreciate that. It's North America's original double alpine coaster. And you can go online and go to BransonCoaster.com, go to FaceAmusement.com, and see all they got here. But this thing is really neat. It's a cart on rails. You control the speed. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about this. And they've got some March Madness deals that you can take advantage of for your family. We're going to be telling you more about that. But tomorrow morning, live in Branson from the Branson Coaster on Highway 76, right across from the Walmart on Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri.
Since we're talking recruiting, I don't know anything about recruiting again. I don't know how to recruit, at least on the football perspective. That's probably why I'm still single, is because I don't have any idea how to recruit. I can't sign
Friday
anybody.
Friday nights you can't recruit either.
Yeah, I can't. Saturday night. I'm just a terrible recruiter year round, apparently. So I do not need to be a recruiting coordinator for any type of sports team. But you know, when I'm seeing what Chad Morris and his staff is doing at this point in time, and the amount of visitors that they have, the guys that are on the radar, they're pretty, from all things considered, they're pretty highly recruited guys. Maybe some guys that weren't even considering Arkansas in previous years, and now you're starting to get the attention of them. And from the social media perspective, from how often the coaches are traveling out recruiting and all that, it's just, to me, it's so much, at least putting an emphasis on the effort of recruiting, that you're starting to see, hey, they may not close down every guy, but they're at least getting in their ear. They're at least getting them on campus. They're at least getting to the first step of maybe signing these guys. And I'm not trying to trivialize recruiting, but to me, it's like effort is really the main thing about recruiting and getting guys, is just putting forth so much work, and the work usually pays off when you do it.
It's similar to business, and it's similar to sales, and Tommy can speak on this. If you have somebody that's not good in sales at all, and then you have another person that's great in sales, and that person sees 10 people a week, the great person, but then the bad person sees 1,000 people a week or 200 people a week, at the end of the day, it's going to balance out to where even though you're not good at sales, you're putting forth a lot more effort and you're seeing a lot more people. So you're going, at the end of the day, you're going to sell more things. And it's the same thing in recruiting. The more that you can get out, like in basketball, I see this all the time. You know, there are basketball assistants that won't be around the team for the entire week and just show up to the game. I mean, they'll miss shoot around. I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was talking about a certain coaching staff and how they went from one game on a Wednesday and they went around and saw all these different kids and they skipped all the practices throughout the week, and then they show up after shoot around like 30 minutes before the next basketball game starts. So yeah, a lot of it is effort. Now, effort won't just get you there by itself,
right?
But I will tell you this, if you don't have great effort, and especially if you're recruiting to the University of Arkansas, you'll win four games.
Yeah. How many guys are you ever going to sign that you don't get on campus? How many guys sign that never make a visit to campus?
I've heard of one.
I'm going to say it's going to be the number's going to be a lot closer to zero than 25.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole thing is selling them on the idea. To me, the in-state guys, you don't have to go through this effort. They understand what our state's about, the effort. I still think that one of the things you got to do is get some of these out-of-state guys you're going after. And one of the things, they've narrowed their focus. They're not, you know, not that they won't go to Florida and get a guy, or California or somewhere and get a guy if they think they got a chance, but their focus is primarily Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and East Texas and specifically, you know, is getting them to campus. I think the whole sales pitch is how do you get them to commit to taking a visit? Because once you get them here, you got a shot. I think the hardest part of recruiting for a lot of these kids is they only have, what, six visits they can make, official visits? How do you get them to make one of those visits to Fayetteville? So, particularly with basketball, I mean, but with football. So, you know, because I think there's a lot of misperceptions, a lot of people don't really understand what our part of the state's about. I mean, I think they got to go above and beyond, you know, sending out, you know, links to YouTube videos and sending out all kinds of details about what Fayetteville is all about, what Northwest Arkansas is all about. And it does have a lot to offer. And there is a lot of things to do other than play football. So, you know, the whole key to the whole thing is getting them to take a visit, getting them on campus.
And I also think it's about getting creative with your methods. Because at this point in time, especially in the SEC, you can have – everybody's got great facilities. You know, that used to be such a huge draw for recruiting, is saying, oh, but they got the best facilities.
Including Arkansas. Arkansas's got great facilities.
Yeah, they have great facilities. But guess what? Everybody else is getting a $40 million paycheck from the SEC network. You know, all these other SEC teams, they all have big money boosters. They are all putting forth the efforts to making their nice facilities. So saying you have nice facilities, I think that can go a little bit, but – everybody's got nice. So now
it's one of those things, though. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
It's like the practice facility. It isn't, and this was my whole view on the basketball practice facility. It isn't that, you know, having a practice facility or having nice buildings is going to get player X to commit. But the problem is you have to keep up with the Joneses. And if you don't have something, if you don't think that everybody in the conference, when Arkansas didn't have a basketball practice facility, was saying, they don't even take basketball serious. They don't even have a basketball practice facility. You got to practice where you play at. And there's not a huge problem with that. But that gets into the back of the minds of the recruits. And so the facilities now.
Perception problem.
Right. Yeah. And the facilities now, guys aren't committing just off of, you know, Oregon having a barbershop in their stadium or whatever, but it's one of those things that if you don't have something, then kids will turn their back to you and go to another program that has all those things.
Which I completely agree with. I'm just saying that can't be like your number one sales pitch anymore. You can't say, okay, well, we may not have the tradition, may not have the history, we may not have getting as many guys in the NFL, but we have a really sweet practice facility. That's not the main pitch anymore. And for a place like Arkansas, who's trying to keep up with the Joneses, which I feel like they've done a really good job as far as the facilities go. Fayetteville's an awesome city to live in. It's a great campus. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's a good college town and has a lot of those things, but you have to be creative. You have to stand out somehow to the Alabamas or the LSUs or the Georgias in some form or fashion. And I feel like that's what this staff has actually done a pretty good job with, is that they've been able to distinguish themselves as having some different type of vibe. There's a different energy. There's a different way of doing things to where, yeah, it will resonate with me or you or anybody. We'll be like, no, that's probably dumb. Why are they tweeting that out? Why are they putting that picture? That's stupid. But if it stands out to the kids,
not for you.
That's right. Like I saw where they were having kids come in, they gave them a choice and an option of like, okay, which Razorback jersey you want to put on? You want to put on an anthracite one? You want to put on a red one? They had them dressed up fully, and they had like highly professional pictures taken of them and with their parents and whatnot. Now, that doesn't seem like a very big deal, but when I read an article about it to say that they're showing pictures that other teams have done this and what it looked like, and Arkansas was far and away the best looking, the best presented, the best everything. Mm-hmm. And again, it means nothing to me about a kid getting a picture taken in a uniform. Like, that means nothing. Yeah. But you know what? It resonates with that kid, and it stands out.
But and on the uniform argument, you know, everybody wants to gripe and complain and moan and groan about those anthracite jerseys. But you notice how many times those kids choose that anthracite jersey
exactly.
for that photo you're talking about?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if going off of that, if wearing that anthracite uniform gets you a 5-star linebacker, wear the dadgum uniforms. You know, I'm all about tradition. I'm all about, you know, having the historical part of Arkansas. But if it helps you win games, if it helps you close down recruits, if it helps you get those big-time players in, do it.
Well, and
I'm
the problem,
more about winning the tradition.
Exactly.
And the problem about tradition is, as well, kids that are coming in only care about recent tradition, meaning, like, what did you recently do last year?
Yeah.
Or the year before that?
No one cares about the 64 National Championship. I'm sorry.
Kids, I mean,
they don't.
Kids coming in don't care about the 2000s.
Yeah.
Like, and that's just how it is. And if you don't believe me, go up to a recruit and start asking them about Razorback history or Clemson history or Alabama history, and they can give you either a guy that's from their hometown, that if that guy was a Razorback or you know, if they went to somewhere else, or they can give you a guy that played the previous year. But as far as history and tradition goes, that's more important to the fans. That's not as important to the current recruits.
Yeah, ask a recruit about Clint Sterner or Matt Jones, at quarterback.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a lot for you on that, if they even know who they are.
You could even say that about like somebody like Ryan Mallett. I mean, at this point, you think about that was 8 years ago when Ryan Mallett was on campus, as crazy as it is.
I asked a basketball recruit one time about Lee Mayberry. He had no clue who I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? But it's just times have changed. And I think a big problem is a lot of times, as far as recruiting goes, we as adults or we as fans or we as media members like to think, well, what would we like right now? And what's important to us? And we try to project that on the kids, and it's like we miss so badly because tradition is important to us. Knowing who Lee Mayberry is, a top 5 Razorback basketball player of all time, knowing who that is very, very important to us. And who over 25 doesn't know who that is. But a lot of those times, though, we project that on those kids, and like the kids don't care about that. The kids care about, okay, well, how much food can I get? Mm-hmm. How much gear can I get? And what color are our jerseys?
Yeah. I want to close out the hour continuing with this discussion on the other side of the break. It's all made possible, though, by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. You can buy now and save on the new Holland equipment you need for the spring season that's here at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and at Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas. 0% financing plus cashback options on tractors, hay, and harvesting equipment. Stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers today and see how much you can save.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
On air and streaming now on hitthatline.com. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft with you. I've been in studio, so we are going to get to some recruiting. But first, I got to tell you about Sassy's Red House. Again, one of my favorite places to go to while I'm up in Fayetteville, especially during baseball season with the great patio that they have set up. Also have some of the best barbecue that you'll get. Again, barbecue on everything. Barbecue quesadillas, barbecue burgers, barbecue wraps, barbecue salad. You can even believe that. So if you're a fan of barbecue, which I know everybody is because you're an American and you live here in the South, be sure to head over to Sassy's. 2 different locations in Fayetteville off of College and Weddington, Sassy's Red House. And let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette to talk a little recruiting with us. Richard, how's it going today?
Doing well, John. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, I appreciate that. And, you know, recruiting is going on all the time. And something that we talked about in the show today that I wanted your thoughts on, it seems like with this new coaching staff with Chad Morris and all of his guys, that they have been out. Just effort has never been a problem with this staff in the recruiting. They're getting out there talking with kids. They're finding new, unique ways to try to get them involved. Just from what you've seen from the previous coaching staffs at Arkansas, and what do you think about their recruiting efforts, and have you ever seen this type of style in the form that they're doing it compared to any other teams in the SEC?
It's very similar to what Clemson did. Obviously, Coach Morris was part of that staff and was exposed to see what Clemson did in their recruiting efforts. A lot of it's very aggressive in the social media area, and obviously you see that a ton with this staff and the kids. Kids are on social media, obviously, and they love the attention. They love the graphics that Coach Morris and the staff put out, and it's something that the kids really enjoy, and it's they do a good job of staying active with them through DMs, through direct messages, and letting them know that they're wanted at the University of Arkansas, and the kids seem to really gravitate towards that, and it helps them get kids on campus, I think. I mean, obviously, it's not just that. It's just their communication with them, too. And, you know, getting to know the kids also is a big part of that, and letting them know who what they're about and what they would do should they decide to be a Razorback, and how they would, develop them not only as a football player but also a person. And that's something that they really stress.
Switching gears, Richard, Daniel Gafford, if he's going to stay, it puts the Arkansas coaching staff in a difficult position, because at the beginning of the year, and really even at the beginning of the conference season, they didn't think necessarily that Daniel Gafford was going to be a one and done. If he does happen to leave, where will they turn to get a big body in here next season?
Well, I mean, obviously there's plenty of kids transferring right now, graduate transfers and regular transfers. So I think that's a possibility. Obviously you just don't replace a Daniel Gafford. There's just no way that you could do that. I mean, with someone with a similar skill level and ability. But I think right now, I mean, they do have two guys that maybe not necessarily the size of Daniel, but in this class, and Reggie Chaney and Ethan Henderson, who both bring you athleticism and the ability to rebound, which is something that is one of his greatest strengths, is the rebounding, blocking shots, and things of that nature. But definitely they'd probably look at the graduate transfers or other transfers, too.
Richard Davenport, Recruiting Thursday. You can catch it at 7 p.m. on many of these radio stations. What do you got going on tonight's show, Richard?
We're gonna have Trevor Robertson, 7 feet, 365-pound offensive tackle. He'll be on at 7 o'clock. At 7:15, we'll have Jeff Hemingway, a father of Jayla Hemingway, one of the top prospects in the nation, the women's class, and a couple other prospects.
Appreciate it, Richard.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com. I got that one.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, all bringing you the Morning Rush live on this beautiful Thursday morning.
Can you start saying my name first?
Why?
Why?
Why not?
Okay, that's no. Yeah. No, we're not doing it. Not doing
just
that.
Be glad we're saying your name.
Yeah. You should be glad you got in the intro.
Yeah.
So, but no, maybe one day, Nick. Maybe one day. So, next time.
No, not even one day.
Okay. And, hey, that's the boss
not
talking.
Not even one day.
That's the boss talking, and what he says goes. So, appreciate everybody listening. I brought up the poll question on Twitter, and it was on Facebook, of will you be rooting for the SEC teams left in the NCAA tournament? We have over 300 votes. 59% of the people say they will be rooting for the SEC.
No, 59% of people say they will be rooting for Texas A&M.
Okay.
Because
yeah, you're right.
I know they're not rooting.
Yes.
I know 0% of that 59%
is rooting for Kentucky.
I agree. Yeah.
I agree. But the fact that they're even still rooting for A&M, it's not like A&M's a likable of program.
I mean, I just think that it's one of those things that it makes your conference look better. If you Arkansas
makes
beat,
you feel better about losing,
right?
Yeah. Look at all Arkansas, these teams we lost to.
Arkansas beat A&M, so as far as A&M can go. But even then, though, I kind of look at it on the reverse, and it's just like Arkansas beat A&M. If you ask me right now, who would I rather have, A&M's roster or Arkansas's roster, I'm going with Arkansas. And if A&M goes to a Final Four with that team and as many problems as they had throughout the year, and they can go to a Final Four, and Arkansas can't get out of the first round and, in fact, loses by 20 in the first. Like, that just makes me even more upset, because that could have very well have been Arkansas.
Obviously, tonight you get two SEC schools. A&M plays Michigan at 6:30 or so tonight, then Kansas State and Kentucky around 8:45 or so tonight. So, going to be a fun night of watching, the four games tonight. But I'm with you. I don't think there's any Kansas State fans, or a lot of Kansas State fans listening, but there will be tonight, I think, in our audience, pulling for that game. So, is there a game tonight, guys, that – is it the Loyola Chicago Nevada game? I don't think a lot of people are going to be as interested. It's fun to talk about Cinderella. I don't think anyone wants to watch it. Do any of these games jump off the page to you guys? Because, I'll watch because it's March Madness and it's basketball, but none of these games are like, man, I can't wait to watch this particular game. None of these games tonight do that for me.
No, not at all. And you mentioned the Cinderellas. People like watching David versus Goliath. They don't like watching David versus David. Loyola, Chicago, Nevada. That's basically what it is. If Loyola, Chicago was playing Kentucky, maybe. But I don't think anyone really cares about that game. I guess if I had to choose one of them, I guess the Texas A&M Michigan game, because I feel like Kentucky's going to roll Kansas State. And Michigan, I mean, they're a 30-win team. They're a 3-seed. Texas A&M's kind of going on this run a little bit. That would be the one that had my vested interest.
If Kansas State beat Kentucky, that would be a bigger upset to me than UMBC beating Virginia.
Really?
I mean, in Catlanta? In Atlanta?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I'm exaggerating there a bit, but I just think Kentucky's going to have a huge home court edge. Am I right about that, Nick?
Oh, my goodness.
Kentucky's going to have – it's going to be like a home court for Kentucky. How many Kansas State fans are traveling to Atlanta?
Right.
Not going to be many.
Well, and not only that, but I'm sure that you were able to go to an SEC tournament or two, Tommy, when it was in the Georgia Dome. It seemed like it was more Kentucky fans in the Georgia Dome than Georgia fans, or more Kentucky fans there than they have at a home crowd.
It was like
in Lexington.
It was like the old Southwest Conference days when Arkansas would take over Reunion Arena in Dallas. That's what it was like. Yeah. And that's what Kentucky does. And that's what they're going to do in Atlanta. And because the other teams are, of course, Loyola, Chicago, and Nevada that are also playing there. Well, how big a fan presence are they bringing down there? I imagine Kentucky's going to own that place. And it's going to be like a home court edge. I would be shocked for Kansas State to pull the upset. And then I guess the shocking thing, Kentucky's going to have to beat themselves not to go to the Final Four here. Calipari's got to be licking his chops. You look at the other three teams in this regional semifinal and final. Kentucky is going to have to beat themselves to not go to San Antonio.
Well, you know, John Calipari came out this yesterday and said he doesn't want his team drinking that poison, though. He talked with Nick Saban. Yeah. Like, something about poison in these teams. But, he has to say that, and I get it. But like you said, Tommy, you have to beat Kansas State. Then you have to beat either Loyola, Chicago, or Nevada to get to the Final Four? Like, come on. If at this point Kentucky doesn't at least make it to the Final Four, I'll even go as far as they don't make it to the national championship game, because if they make it to the Final Four, they're either going to have to play Florida State, Gonzaga, Michigan, or Texas A&M, and I like Kentucky in a big margin against any of those teams.
Yeah, and for a coach that did all the complaining about his draw and his place on the bracket, for a coach that spent all of his time before they threw the first basketball in the air for this tournament not liking how he thought he was treated by the committee, he's got the easiest path I think you've ever seen a blue blood to get to the Final Four.
One of the easiest I've seen.
Paved in gold, man.
One of the easiest paths of anybody to get to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Forget blue blood.
You're right. Exactly right. But it's unfair that Kentucky seems to have this kind of path.
Yeah, they don't get him any breaks, Tommy. Come on. Let's be honest.
As a 5 seed. Yeah. as a year that supposedly they're down at Kentucky. And I agree. They haven't had the year that they've had in other times. This is not one of Coach Cal's best seasons. They may end up winning it all just as a, because they survived, just survived in advance.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it, I forgot which year it was. But there was a time where Kentucky was like a 7 seed, 8 seed. They made it to the Final Four. Was it the year?
Pelfrey
beat
them.
Yeah. Pelfrey beat Kentucky,
and he took that victory lap.
Yeah,
I'm gonna text him and ask him if he remembers that victory.
Yeah, because I remember that. I was like, what? How in the world? So Kentucky again. It's just about matchups, but it also is funny too that like Kentucky's, in my opinion, their best team that year where they were like, I guess what was it, 38-0. Going into the Final Four, but then you end up losing to Wisconsin. Ended up not winning it. That's the NCAA tournament for you. Just funny how things play out there. But no, it's definitely been just that side of the bracket to where, Kentucky can literally fall backwards into the national championship game. I was really looking forward to seeing Kentucky and Virginia play each other. Because I wanted to see. It'd probably be a very low score, one of the lowest scoring games in the entire tournament, because both teams.
I don't ever want to see. If Brett Bielema coached basketball, he'd coach it. He'd have a team like Virginia.
They wouldn't make the tournament.
True. I don't ever want to see Virginia ever play anything. And I am always so excited whenever they get out of the ACC tournament early, or when they get out of the NCAA tournament early, because at the end of the day, sports is about entertainment. And, you're winning, but how entertaining is the style that Virginia plays? It's not very entertaining at all. Basketball, we want to see threes. We want to see points. We want to see dunks. We don't want to see at halftime and it's 17-27. That's just not what we want to see.
It kind of reminds me of having a team in football to where they just go in I formation every play and get 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Now, they may win. It'll be a 10-7 final. And they'll probably get a lot of victories and all that, but it might put everybody to sleep.
Almost like the old New York Jets and Baltimore Raven teams that couldn't really score, but their defense was just...
Careful about my Jets.
Was so strong and so tough. But,
when Mark Sanchez was the quarterback.
And that's where a lot of people miss the boat on, and a lot of people don't figure into the equation of hiring and firing coaches. On if you are boring and you play a boring style, then you're going to get fired a little quicker than a coach that can put points on the board that's exciting, that's fun. You look at Texas Tech and you look at them on the football scene. They haven't done much on the football scene, but they've had guys that you've mentioned as possible Heisman candidates. They've scored a lot of points in some games. They'll throw it all across the field, It's fun, it's exciting, it's up-tempo, it's fast-paced, because if Texas Tech was running a similar offense to the one that Brett Bielema has been running or had been running, then he'd be fired as well.
Yeah, and if you even think about dual-threat quarterbacks, or you can even take the comparison as far as when you were just basing it on strictly excitement factor. Ryan Mallett was an extreme – he made pocket passing exciting just because of how much of an arm he had, and he can throw it 80 yards without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But if you compare him and Matt Jones as far as excitement goes, Matt Jones was one of those guys where you held your breath anytime he started running outside that pocket.
Yeah.
And
or even, really,
or anytime he took a snap.
Yeah.
He took a snap. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
Anytime he took a snap, he didn't hand the football off. You knew at that point anything can happen.
Yeah. And now Ryan Mallett was a better quarterback. He had more success, I believe, on the field, and his team had more success. So that was all well and good. But if you had to take it between those two of who was more exciting to watch, I mean, Matt Jones wins every single time just because of the explosiveness he has.
Well, and not only that, but, I mean, who was more exciting to watch than Matt Jones just in general?
Man. I mean,
there's only a handful of guys,
Michael Vick,
that you can even bring up just in general, you know, anywhere on the field.
Johnny Manziel would be
on
one.
Any side of the football.
Yeah, Manziel is excited, but you notice that they're all dual threat guys. The guys that just had that explosiveness. Now, Matt Jones probably had the
part of it though.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, Matt Jones was ahead of his time. Really, that was before the dual threat type of quarterback started taking over college football and football in general, but. Either way, excitement is what sells tickets. There's no question about it.
Yeah. Hey, going to be an exciting weekend at Oaklawn. And, the season's starting to wind down. The Arkansas Derby just a few weeks away, and the best thoroughbred racing in the nation continues this weekend at Oaklawn in Hot Springs. Beginning Saturday, you can start registering for your chance to win a brand-new boat and truck. Get all the details when you get to Oaklawn, and race fans can enjoy the action from the infield this weekend as well. And if you're an Arkansas resident, download that Oaklawn Anywhere app in the App Store and iTunes, or if you've got Android, they've got that as well. iPhones, iPads, you could watch and wager from your device and enjoy Oaklawn that way. Just use the promo code APP, that's APP, and get a $150 bonus, guys, and visit Oaklawn Anywhere and sign up right now. Oaklawn, Arkansas's favorite place to play and only minutes away.
Nick Saban, will he retire? When will he retire? Or is he just going to dominate college football for the rest of our lives? Who knows at this point in time? But we'll get to that and more on the other side. It's the morning.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my wrong, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
2 hours down and 1 hour to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. I am John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Nick Mason in studio. Been fun-filled. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Going to be joined by Richard Davenport to talk a little recruiting. Around 8:15. We'll keep it going from there. And we'll get some last segment nonsense too. I got a lot of articles to read in that one too. So be looking forward to the last segment dealing with that. We'll keep it going. We'll update on our poll question. Still, it's gotten actually closer now. More people are starting to vote for. They hope that the SEC loses. It's at 57-43. SEC still winning, but just barely.
They're starting to listen to me. I'm not. And I understand if it gives you.
I knew that had to be it. They were listening to you.
if it gives you a financial benefit, like if it's like, oh, okay, well, if you can win this many games in the tournament, it's going to help. It's going to help your team or whatever the case may be. But other than that, you know, I don't see any other reason to root for another team in the conference.
No. No, and if you, there's no right or wrong answer to this. Obviously, it's just whatever your preference is, because some people like have those second favorite teams, you know, like some people will say, which is fine, because it's like, if you're a Razorback fan, but you also like Georgia, you know, I don't think that's a problem. What is a problem to me is when you start having people say, well, I'm a Missouri football fan, but I'm a Kansas basketball fan. Or I'm an Alabama football fan, but I'm a Kentucky basketball fan. See, that type of stuff is what really starts to bother me when it comes to your fandom. And I don't know where that comes from, or if and why that should be okay, or why it's allowed. But I'm always about the loyalty. You have the loyalty to one school, and obviously there's other programs that are better at sports than what your respective program is. But you can't say that your fandom is great in one sport and then it's great in the other sport, even though it's two different schools. I have a problem with that. Maybe I'm crazy about it. Oh, no. Am I wrong there?
No. To me, it's you either hate somebody or you don't hate somebody. And to me, it's hard to it's hard to root against them, a couple of times a year. In football, to me, it's hard to root for LSU ever. That's a team I just really don't like. Just really don't care for LSU. That's a team I really – because Arkansas has had some success in football against LSU. It's a good even – rivalry a lot of the times, and I just don't like purple. So, I find it hard to ever root for LSU in anything because I don't like him in baseball. I don't like him in football, and I just, they're not very good in basketball ever, it seems like, but even when they had Ben Simmons. So I'm not going to root for him if they ever got to the tournament. Yeah, so I'm with you.
And not only that, but then it makes it more difficult on Arkansas. You do know that Arkansas and Texas A&M recruit the same players in basketball. They recruit well in football as well, too. But in basketball, they recruit the same players. I'm pretty sure, and I can't remember if it was both Reggie Chaney and Jordan Phillips, but I'll ask Richard here in a minute. But I think it came down to Arkansas, Texas A&M, and somebody else for either one of those kids or both of those kids. So if you're rooting for these teams in the NCAA tournament and they're going on to win a national championship or a Final Four, Elite Eight, whatever the case may be, it makes it more difficult for Arkansas for a couple of reasons. One, I know the coaching staff isn't rooting for them because now expectations are going even higher because people are looking and saying, hold on, Texas A&M had all their people hurt. They kicked 10 people off the team and they still can make it to the Sweet 16. And fans are starting to realize that, and now other recruits and things in the country, because if Texas A&M and Arkansas come down to a kid next year, Texas A&M is going to say, well, hey, look, Arkansas got beat by 20 in the first round, and we were able to advance.
I understand that, too, but it's just I feel like if you go into your closet and you have a Razorback shirt and a Kentucky shirt, you're a bad person. I just don't understand how you can justify something. And it can be with any team. It doesn't even have to be bitter rivals. It's just weird to me that you would be one fan of one program, one fan of the other. Now, you can root for them, and I understand that because there are programs out. Because, for instance, I like Kansas basketball. If there was a program that wasn't Arkansas basketball growing, I like Kansas. I like Bill Self. I've always liked the whole Rock Chalk Jayhawk and Fog Allen Fieldhouse, all the aura around it. So if it's coming down to the tournament, or in this case, this tournament, I'd be okay with Kansas winning because I like Kansas. Kansas basketball is fine. But I'm not going out and buying Kansas gear. I'm not going on Twitter and saying, oh, here's my boys are playing today, Rock Chalk. I'm not doing that. I guess that's where... That's where I start getting the issue.
Bandwagon it.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I start really bringing up the issue is like, hey, again, if you root for them, that's fine. But don't act like it's us and that and this and that and the other.
Well, do you really want to sit down? You can this time of year. You can sit down and watch a game just to watch a game. But don't you kind of enjoy the game more when you have a rooting interest or you pick a side?
Oh, for sure. I mean,
you just enjoy watching the dadgum game when you have a side. If not, you will naturally gravitate to one side or the other as the game goes on. It's just in our nature.
Yeah.
I think what happens a lot of times, we gravitate towards the team we're familiar with. So if it's A&M, and then we have reasons we don't gravitate towards Kentucky and we root against Kentucky because you just hate those guys. But, that's it. You end up gravitating towards some of these conference teams and games. You really don't care who wins in some of these games.
Yeah.
But what fun is it to watch a game and really be indifferent? That's part of the fun is the emotions getting up and down. And, not that you're going to be as high and low as you would watching Arkansas play, but you kind of want to have a side picked out. If not before the game will help you pick one out.
Yeah, and no,
it's just part of fun in sports. Why would you ever want to watch a game and not care who wins?
Couldn't agree more, because I feel like that's what makes Yanks sports.
Why
There's
do you watch
sides.
Sports if you don't care who wins?
That's right. That's
why even watch?
Yeah, exactly. There's two sides to it. And so I'm saying that that's fine if there's a team, because I do that too. Like when it, you know, going back to the whole SEC conversation, when it's in football, if it's Alabama versus Florida State or whoever, I'm rooting for Bama. You know, if it's even if it's Auburn, I'll hold my nose doing it. But if it's Auburn in the national championship game against Clemson, I'm probably going to root for Auburn. So there are teams
for an earthquake.
Maybe root for the game to get canceled. But so if you have those instances, that's fine, and I am completely on board with that. But I guess the thing that just, you know, gets in my crawl is when you start having people who, whether it's social media or whether you're around them or you're watching the game with them, where you know that they're diehard Razorback fans and they go all the games and stuff, but they come rolling in with an Alabama shirt and saying like, "All right, guys, let's do this. This is my team. These are my guys. Can't wait to. This is us."
Do you know people that do that?
Oh, I know people that do that.
They put on an Alabama shirt.
Yes.
And call them friends?
There is one specific person, and if she's listening, she knows who I'm talking about. We watch the national championship game. I know her. She's grown up in Arkansas. She went to Arkansas. She was a diehard Razorback fan. Went to every game. She rolls in with an Alabama shirt, and I remember just getting so upset. And you want to know why? You don't want to know why? It was because she thought AJ McCarron was attractive. That's it. Ew. That stuff just, man, really just boils my nuggets when I see stuff like that go on.
I ain't buying no Alabama gear.
No.
I'm going to have to lose a bet. I'm going to have to, something bad's going to have to happen for that to happen.
I'm not buying gear of any other team, though.
Yeah, no, you know I'm not either, ever. None.
A&M, Kentucky, LSU, South Carolina, Vandy, Georgia.
Yeah.
I may root for one of those teams in the game that I don't really care who wins.
Yeah.
I may root for South Carolina. I may root for, you know, Alabama in the national championship football game. I may root for them because, you know, who would I rather have win? Alabama or Clemson? I think it's better for the league if Alabama wins. You may disagree, but that's what I think. So I just assume Alabama win that game. Yeah. But I'm not going out and buying no shirt.
Yeah. No, and I agree with that, Tommy. But my also another little element too, I don't know if this drives y'all crazy, does me. What about somebody who's at, say, a Kansas Kansas and Texas basketball game at Fog Allen, and someone rolls in with an Arkansas Razorback shirt and they are standing out like a sore thumb. There's people that'll do that where they'll wear their own personal team's shirt to a game that doesn't have their team competing in it. And again, they stand out it's like wearing Tennessee orange going into one of those things. Like, yeah, everyone knows who you're rooting for.
In my early days of talk radio, we had a caller, Big 12 Mike. He's passed away. He was a great guy, but he called the show. We called him Big 12 Mike because he rooted for Oklahoma in football and Kansas in basketball. Oh, and he had no allegiance to either school, but he was just a front runner. So he chose Oklahoma. He was from Kansas, was where his roots were. And Mike, why don't you root for Kansas football? Well, they're terrible. I can't root for them. They're awful. You know, I get that, but you can't root for, I mean, that would be like rooting for Alabama football and Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of deranged person are you?
Yeah, somebody needs to have some type of medicine or something. I don't know, but that's just really messed up. Let's go to the phone lines real quick as coming up against the break. We got Robert in Fayetteville. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, good morning. I want to comment on this. There's only one team that I root against, period. Just hate them. It's Texas. You know, I root for Oklahoma against Texas, period. But I always root for the conference because if the deeper into the tournament the SEC goes, we have this sharing thing of the money, and it benefits Arkansas when the SEC does well. So I want to see us make as much money as we can. So if it's an all Final Four SEC, I'm rooting for the SEC because not only do we share in the profits from that, but that makes our conference look better, which makes us look better.
Yeah. No, and that's a completely logical explanation to it, and I appreciate the call, Robert, we're going to be taking a break here in a second. But I just feel like that's something that makes sense, and if that's the reason that you root for SEC teams, because it benefits your team, as in this case Arkansas, directly, financially, whatever it may be, That's really what it's all about. So I understand. So we're going to take a break. Before we do, got to tell you about Kevin Hickey Law.
Now, Kevin Hickey Law team made up of experienced, caring individuals centered around divorce, child and custody, plus DHS matters. If you're looking for someone that can help you with a DHS matter, the Kevin Hickey Law team is experienced and specialized in that. They have an office in Fort Smith, also offices in Northwest Arkansas. They can help you make the right decisions. 479-434-2414 in the River Valley in Northwest Arkansas. It's 479-802-6560. Let me give you their website, because if you're listening in the car, you probably can't write those phone numbers down. It's KevinHickeyLaw.com. KevinHickeyLaw.com. So if you're going through a divorce, you're going through child custody, they have the experienced lawyers, a caring firm who want the your best interest first and foremost at Kevin Hickey Law. Again, KevinHickeyLaw.com, where clients are the main priority from start to finish.
The most honest sports radio show in Arkansas. The Morning Rush continues next.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.